Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I ask that this morning we hear what you have to say to us and that we respond. We respond as a step of faith. We respond as a step of obedience. We respond to move our lives in line with your will and find that that is the most perfect place we could ever be. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We began the month of January in a series of messages called The Next Level. And we began with the concept of taking the idea of missions. That is, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who don't know him, whether they live on the other side of the world or whether they live across the street. And we base it on this. The call of Jesus, found in Matthew 28, most often referred to as a Great Commission. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, based on that authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." In this thing called the Great Commission, these marching orders from Jesus, we're told to go and make disciples. We're told to teach those disciples. But there's also something else in there. We're called to baptize them. Of course, we know that baptism doesn't save a person. No act, no matter how righteous, no matter how religious, can save a person. The Bible clearly tells us how our salvation comes about. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You don't earn it, you receive it. And by receiving it, you give thanks to him who gave it. You don't take the credit yourself. I am so glad that I don't have to earn my salvation. I am so glad that when I stand up before the Lord one day, I won't be boasting and bragging about the many good things that I have done in this life in an attempt to persuade him to allow me into heaven. But instead, I will claim nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out for the forgiveness of my sins. It is because of what Jesus did that I will be saved, not because of what I have done. But if baptism is not essential to salvation, if baptism itself does not save us, then why does Jesus make it part of these marching orders to the church just before he ascends back into heaven? This morning, as we prepare to celebrate the baptism of about 5 people this morning, perhaps God will lead it to be more, but we want to focus just a little bit on the importance of baptism, to have God's word remind us again of just why this is such a significant thing in the life of each believer and in the life of the church. Let's begin with this. Baptism is a physical picture of a spiritual reality. We need to begin to understand that first. We said it before, baptism doesn't save us, but it is a symbol, a picture of the spiritual reality of our salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life." Baptism physically pictures that we are dead to sin, dead to self, and alive in Christ. Dead to sin and self, alive in Christ. Think of it. After Jesus was crucified, he was buried. But he didn't stay buried. Death couldn't hold Jesus. The grave couldn't hold Jesus. On the third day, he arose. Here is the picture. Here is the image. Dead and buried with Christ, and raised to walk in the newness of life with Him. Dead and buried, given new life. That is the picture of baptism. It is what we believe about Jesus, that He was crucified, buried, and on the third day rose again. And it is what we believe about ourselves, that we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but that through Christ we have been made alive. Baptism declares, I was a dead man, I was a dead woman. Sin and guilt had me dead. But because of what Jesus has done for me, I am alive. I come up out of the water as a declaration that just as Jesus is alive, I am alive in Him. Buried under the water, raised up again. Baptism is that physical picture of a spiritual reality. Secondly, baptism is a visible sign of belonging in Christian community. Baptism, of course, is an intimately personal act. We don't all come up here and climb in the baptistry with the person being baptized, right? It's a personal thing. It is an expression of that person's individual declaration of faith. But let's not simply think of it as an individual act, because it's not. Baptism also identifies us with the body of Christ. You are not alone. As a matter of fact, when I baptize, I do it on behalf of the church. I have the authority to baptize, but I don't baptize for myself, and I don't just baptize for the other person. I do it as a representative of this body. We as a church recognize this person's faith. We as a church rejoice to include them in the life and the body of Christ. This is a part of that. You see, water baptism is a symbolic act. Those who believe, John chapter 3 says, Jesus says that we are born again. Spiritually, we have been included in Christ. Water baptism is that sign of inclusion. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Our water baptism is a sign that we are in Christ, we are in the body of Christ, that we belong to the church. Now, our salvation is an individual thing, but our baptism shows that we're not alone. Our baptism shows that we are part of a family. So in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, this is important. This is something that we often overlook. But my baptism identifies me as belonging to Christ and belonging to His people. It's not simply that I belong to Christ, me and Jesus against the world. It's that I belong to Christ and I belong to His body, to His people, to His church. The Reader's Digest had an interesting story. Walking through this jungle, this hunter came upon a very ferocious-looking rhino who happened to be dead. Standing beside the rhino was a pygmy who stood about 4'5". Tiny little pygmy, huge dead rhino. And so the hunter walks over and says, Did you kill the rhino? And the pygmy says, yes. And he said, that's an awfully big rhino. How did such a little guy like you kill that rhino? Pygmy said, I did it with my club. The hunter looks at him and said, well, how big was your club? And he said, oh, there are about 90 of us. the mission of Christ is bigger than you can do alone. The mission of Christ is bigger than I can do alone. God never intended us to do it alone. He gave us a club. It's called the church. And together, God can do greater things with us than he could ever do with us individually. The third point is this. Baptism is a step of obedience. It is certainly a sign that we belong to Christ and a sign that we belong to one another, but it's also a step of obedience. God calls the church to baptize believers. Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But God also calls believers to be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so God is calling the church to baptize, and God is calling believers to be baptized. So why do we hesitate? I mean, it's not that it's hard. It's not that it's complicated. In fact, of all the things that Jesus calls us to do, baptism may well be the easiest. It may well be the simplest thing that God ever calls us to do as a believer. And perhaps this morning, Jesus speaks to your heart, and he calls on you to declare your faith publicly, to identify with him and to identify with his church. Now, I'm going to make a very bold statement, but I believe it sincerely, and I think you can find out it's biblical. And that is this: a believer not being baptized, for them it is disobedience. Now think of it. If God called his church to baptize, and God calls believers to be baptized, would not failing to be baptized be an act of disobedience? It doesn't mean you lose your salvation, because remember, we're not saved because of our works, our good deeds, and we don't lose our salvation because we do something wrong. If so, I would have lost mine a long time ago. But it is an act of disobedience. If we know that this is what God is calling us to do, and we refuse to do it for whatever reason, then we are living in disobedience. Now, there are lots of pictures of obedience and disobedience in the Bible. I want to point you back to one, and we're not going to look it up. We really don't have time to look it up. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you're in the sermon-based grace groups, you'll actually be engaging in this week. And in fact, you're going to have a fun time, I promise you, as you go through 1 Samuel 15, because it's a pretty neat chapter. In it, there's a story of King Saul and what we could call partial obedience. God had commanded King Saul to wipe out an entire group of people. The group was called the Amalekites. And you'll discover why their wickedness was such an affront to God. So much so that God says, I want you to take them all out, including their livestock. Now, King Saul didn't quite do what God told him to do. I mean, he went and he pretty much wiped out everybody, but he had a different idea. And he kept some of the sheep and some of the cattle, some of the livestock, kept the best of those, and the king, Agag, he didn't kill him immediately. He brought him back in captivity. And so it's an interesting story as the prophet Samuel comes and finds Saul, and Saul runs up and he says, Samuel, got great news. I did exactly what God told me to do. And Samuel says, do I hear sheep? Do I hear cows? And then Samuel says, oh, those. Well, I kept the best of them because I wanted to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. So I kept out some of those to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, we do need to keep in mind that not only would there be a sacrifice to the Lord, but the meat, the way that the sacrificial system would go, the meat would also be able to be consumed by the people. And so it's a combination sacrifice and barbecue. I mean, you got to reward your soldiers, right? And by the way, Agag's still alive. I kept him. He's kind of a prize. You know, when one king conquers another, you got to come in and you got to kind of rub it in his face. You got to parade him up and down the street naked so that he's utterly embarrassed. It's just the way things are done. You just need to understand. And Samuel is hearing nothing of it. Why? Because God said, this is exactly what I want you to do. And even though Saul may have had some nice ideas of how he could tweak it, he didn't really do what God told him to do. I mean, he did some of it. But he really didn't walk in obedience. And this is what the prophet Samuel said in response to Saul. He says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination and arrogance. Again, these are the two problems that Samuel saw in Saul. Rebellion is like the sin of divination and arrogance like the evil of idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has rejected you as king. Now, the reason I pull this passage out, it is a powerful story of partial obedience, but when God confronts Saul through Samuel, he said it's disobedience. You've chosen your own way, to do it your way, instead of doing what I've called you to do. Now, how does this fit with baptism? We are not saved by obedience, but our salvation leads us to obey. We declare Jesus not only to be Savior of our lives, but Lord of our lives. I got to tell you, some people just want to get out of hell free card. They hear a sermon about hell and they go, I don't want to be there. What do I got to do? Pray a prayer. And then I can go on and live my life any way I want to live it. That's not what God's calling you to do. That's not who God's calling you to be. Your obedience grows out of your relationship with Him. Your obedience is a grateful response to what He has done for you. And you won't lose your salvation because of it, but you will not have the relationship you could have if you bring your life in line with God's will. Your baptism is a statement, I belong to Him and I am following Him. This is one step of obedience lived in a lifetime devoted to being at the center of God's will. This morning, we will see people who are taking a step of faith, who are taking a step of obedience. But here's what I need to talk to you about. There may be some of you here today who need to take that first step of faith and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You've toyed around the edges. You've done religious things. You've tried to be good enough to earn God's salvation. You've tried to be good. You try to do good works. You try to be better than your neighbor. But you have never really come and confessed, Jesus, I'm lost. My sin has separated me, and I need you to save me. I need a new life, a new beginning, a new start. I can't save myself. I know that. Only you can. And so I come today humbly asking and receiving what you and only you can give. And I got to tell you, if you mean it, if you're sincere, God will hear and answer that prayer and give you that gift of salvation that no one can take away. For some of you, you've received that, but you need to take a step of obedience. Perhaps today you need to be baptized. You go, well, I didn't come here planning to be baptized this morning. I know I should be, but I didn't come planning on it. We've got extra towels. What better day than today to take that step of obedience and say, you know what, I became a Christian a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but I've never followed. I never really understood what baptism is, but now that I understand that this is where God's calling me to be, it's something I need to do as a believer. Let me tell you, in my particular instance, as an 11-year-old boy, I think I was about 11, I went into a big classroom with a bunch of other kids my age, and pastor talked to us about baptism, and then we all signed up, and the next week we were baptized. And I got to tell you, on that day that I was baptized, the only thing I got was wet, because I'd never made a personal decision for Christ. I'd never received this gift of salvation. I did it because everybody else was doing it. After I became a believer, I then was baptized. I wasn't rebaptized. I was baptized. The biblical pattern is that we believe and we are baptized as a testimony to our faith and an entryway into the family of God. Some of you may have things a little backwards. And understanding what baptism is, today you're coming to say, I need this. I need to be baptized. And we as a church will rejoice to do that very thing for you.